Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today is the day for our special feature when we read from the Rock Cliff Review. That is the bulletin that we pass out to those who attend the services at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, and the bulletin usually has an article in it that goes along with the sermon, and so it was for this Sunday. The title of the article in the bulletin is, Can We Know We Are Saved? And this is the second sermon of this title, because the first was done and we had read that one earlier. But now we're going to read this one about what Paul tells us. Can we know we are saved? Consider Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul tells us that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God. Then he says, from faith to faith. With humility, let me suggest that the words from faith to faith mean that as our understanding of the gospel grows, so also our confidence grows. We go from the faith we have to a greater faith. Consider Psalm 84:7, where we read, they go from strength to strength. It means they go from the strength they have to a greater strength. Consider John 1:16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. It means that in addition to the grace received, there's more grace. Consider 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. It is changed from that which is glorious to that which is more glorious. We come to the book of Romans with the faith we have. We grow an understanding of how our righteous God has power to save us because of the effectual propitiation of Christ. As our understanding grows, our faith grows. Therefore, it is by the word of God that our confidence grows. Consider Romans 7:7 through 25. Paul describes his turmoil within as he sought the Lord's salvation under the law of Moses. He was trying to live so well under that law that God would save him for his own excellence. He was not seeking salvation by grace, but as it were by the works of the law. He was not seeking salvation as a gift, but as it were as a payment. He knew what the law said, and he knew how he was continually falling short. It was his own shortfalls that he could not overcome. The commandments through which he sought life had become death to him, Romans 7 and verse 10. He knew he was fighting a losing battle, and he cried, Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7:24. Many who read Romans 7 can relate to Paul in his spiritual struggles because they're trying to live under the new covenant the way Paul had been living under the old. When they see what God wants of us, they see only their failings and they think they're not good enough. They have turned God's wonderful words of life into words of death. The answer to Paul's dilemma is the answer to their dilemma. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This should be understood in light of the propitiation of Christ we discussed earlier in Romans 3:23 through 26. It is because of this propitiation that Paul can say, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Paul was a man of like passions, such as we are. Under the law, the Spirit of life in Christ, he would still know failings and shortcomings, but he would not despair. He knew he was walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, and therefore, because of Christ, he was under no condemnation. Walking after the Spirit does not mean we're seeking our salvation as a payment for our work Walking after the Spirit does not mean we will always measure up to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But because of Christ, we are not lost when we stumble. We remain forgiven, and we get back up and continue our walk without condemnation. Consider Romans 8:31-39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. God is not against us. God is not watching for failing to justify His casting us away. God wants to bring us to Himself. He looked for a reason to save and found it in His own Son. Read on. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Having spared not His own Son, He's not going to cast us away if we stumble and seek Him. He will freely give all we need to continue to walk in the Spirit, and He will continue to freely forgive. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Romans 8:33-34. The present active tells us that it is God who continues to justify. If you are in Christ, then do not become the one who continues to condemn yourself. Read it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Well, that was the reading from the bulletin, and that was the gist of the sermon that morning at the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. We read from the Rockcliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this Bible school, we're looking at old Sunday school lessons. This is a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of April the 26th, 1925, about the martyr Stephen. It was written by the old preacher, E. A. Elam. And we're looking at the effect that Stephen's sermon had on that Sanhedrin that was gathered about him. We read in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed on him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And they knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this into their charge. That is so bizarre what they did. They were scrupulous about keeping their law. In trivial matters, they stoned him to death. That was their method of stoning, and that was commanded by the law if the person truly was guilty, as they had said. But they also did so without the city. They're being so scrupulous, but they're being so evil. And what they are doing to Stephen in putting this preacher of the gospel to death by stoning him. And in so doing, in their frenzy, they broke the Roman law, which did not allow them to put someone to death. These witnesses were the ones in Acts 6:13-14 who falsely testified that they had heard Stephen speak blasphemy. Saul guarded their garments. This is our first introduction to Saul of Tarsus, afterwards called Paul. He not only consented to Stephen's death, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, but did his part in executing it. He realized fully that he was an accessory to it and was responsible with the rest for it, says in Acts 22 and in verse 20. And when the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting in keeping the garments of them that slew him. This made a lasting impression upon Paul. His reference to this in latter years shows in what light this conduct on this occasion was regarded by the Lord. These very ones who condemned Stephen and persecutors in the church at Jerusalem were the real blasphemers, persecutors, and injurers, 1 Timothy 1, 12-17. And so Paul regarded himself. But while they stoned Stephen called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His humility and nearness to God are indicated by the fact that amid these stonings, he, in accordance with the approved order, knelt down to pray. If he, under these circumstances, would kneel, why should any fail to kneel in prayer? His prayer, like that of his master, was for his enemies. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. This is the spirit that pleases God. Think of a bruised and dying man under such torture, screaming up from the ground in order to kneel before God in prayer for his murderers, or calmly kneeling before he was quite struck down to the ground. All you who think you cannot pray for your enemies and for those who would injure you, look at this touching picture. Stephen was a man of like passions with ourselves, and he did this amidst the bitterest foes and in the most excruciating physical pain. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That is a beautiful description of death. What an escape from such horrible violence. Calm, restful spirit of Stephen in contrast to the ravenings of this mob. And with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And as I look at the lesson that we're going to study next, I see that E.A. Elam has taken a mighty detour here. We are studying in these Sunday school lessons about the history of the early church. That's the lessons of this second quarter. I'm turning over to the beginning. It is called The Spread of Christianity, Studies in Acts and the Epistles. But now we're going to take a detour and study a lesson on the benefits of total abstinence. Now the lesson text comes from Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to read Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And I think what we're going to do, because our time is drawing near, we're going to look at this in our next class to begin reading that passage. But you might want to go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 1. It's about when Daniel and his three friends sat down at the king's table and they were going to give him the king's meat. And he looked and realized, this is not the meat which God will allow us to eat. And so they refused the king's meat. And we're going to read how the man looking after them, they thought, well, now this is, could cost me my life if you boys were to come weak and famished because you would not eat. And they made the deal with him. Let us just eat the vegetables, the pulse. And at the end of 3 days, you examine us and see how we do. And these men fared better than all the others. Well, we'll be reading that in our next class, Daniel chapter 1. The golden text is Daniel 1 in verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties, nor with the wine that he drank a lesson on the benefits of total abstinence.